Hi everybody, Tom here. You're about to hear our weekly podcast, The Real Reading Podcast, where we discuss at length the issue of Banksy and whether he had or had not painted the mural on the side of Reading Prison. At the time of recording, we did not know whether it was an official Banksy or not. Almost as soon as we finished recording, we discovered and it was announced that it was an official Banksy. It happens. What follows is the podcast that we recorded originally, but just please be aware, we do know it is a real Banksy. See you soon.
You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.
I'm Hugh Fort.
I'm Rachel Nemeth.
And I'm Tom Canning, and welcome to the Intercity episode. Thanks, Rach.
Just you to get a train reference in there.
That's right. 125, episode 125 of the Real Reading Podcast. You can like us on Twitter at Real Reading Pod. You can podcast group to join us on Facebook. Many people have. What is there to talk about this week? Anyone? Rach?
Should I have a little rummage about, see if I can find anything?
The stuff over there. Could you have a look under there?
Yeah, let me look through these papers. No, I've got nothing.
Anything?
No. No, sorry.
Oh, okay. Banksy.
Banksy. It's all about Banksy this week.
Or is it Banksy? Hugh, any update?
No, I don't think so. I'm off today, but I did have a look on Instagram earlier on.
Oh.
And he still hasn't confirmed it, the reclusive Bristolian artist, as we must revert to him.
Excuse me a second, I must ask my father just to turn his phone off. Father, please could you turn your phone down? Thank you. We'll discuss this in a moment.
The magic of live audio.
The trouble, of course, with a rolling live news story such as Banksy is that by the time this podcast goes out on Friday, he may have confirmed it was him. Or he may not. We don't know.
He has not yet. I've just looked.
As of 14:15 on Thursday.
If he confirms that it's him as renowned Bristolian artist, he is then confirming that he has broken lockdown rules to come here and paint said picture. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, yes.
Why hadn't I thought of that?
I didn't think of it either. My husband did.
No.
I can't claim that. So he may remain anonymous for fear of getting a fine.
Yeah.
Oh, well, if anybody can find him, he is reclusive.
Yeah.
Where would you send the fine? Bristol.
Dear Banksy, Bristol.
Yeah.
Of course, there were some other headlines this week, including a Reading Festival, should we say, fly in the ointment? Something?
Slight reversing on...
sort of a
note of caution, I'd say, perhaps.
Ah, fair enough. A note of caution. And another town centre hotel, possibly. We'll come to the town centre hotel. I have questions, many questions. Before all that, though, I wanted to draw your attention to, for a third week in a row, Mr. Tim Dunn, host of the TV show The Architecture of the Railways Built and owner of the excellent Twitter account at Mr. Tim Dunn, has yet again provided another piece of entertainment for our Real Reading podcast listeners and us. I think this was February the 25th. In fact, this was almost this was almost 7 whole days ago. You and I have discussed this at length. We've had a phone call. But basically, he posted a picture of a house in Reading that is for sale on Rightmove for the princely sum of £1.25 million. And he said in his tweet, "I regret to inform you that a crime has been committed just south of Reading Town Centre. This house is big. It's on Devonshire Park. And it's kind of like, it's a little bit sort of almost, is it Greek? Is that the style? It's got these this giant sort of, I want to call it an awning, with two pillars, two giant pillars. It's over two floors. It's absolutely, it's a huge house, double garage, as you'd expect for 1.25 million. I mean, 1.25 million, I want three garages, but, you know, hey.
I'm on right now, looking for it. I want to see the floor plans and the decor.
So what I don't want to do here is we all have our own styles and tastes and stuff, and I don't want to be completely tactless and go down the road of you know, because someone's probably put a lot of effort into this house. But I, as Hugh knows now, I went for a drive the other night, and I went to Devonshire Park to have a little look around, and it is the strangest road I think I've ever driven. There were three of these, they feel like, just looking, they look exactly the same. Three of these houses on this sort of loop. Devonshire Park is a loop. It's just off the Shinfield Road near Reading Bedding. Don't do the jingle.
Cressingham Road off Shinfield Road.
That's the one. The very same.
Where's heading?
It's really weird. There's like sort of this five styles of house on the street, and it's almost like a film, like a movie lot, as the Americans would say. It's you know they have those, if you've ever done any of the I think the Universal Studios tour, and you go around like the house sort of set where there's just house fronts, it was a bit like that, and it's just really weird. It was a really,
it does
strange...
look American, doesn't it, this, yeah, particular house.
It's,
and a bit like the White House, those kind of columns, yeah, and
it's a bit Vegas-y, I think, as well. Not that I've, yes, ever been there, but I imagine that there's play things which look like that in Las Vegas.
It's just very strange. So we were, Hugh, I know you were looking into this a little bit.
I found out a little bit about it. I've been mainly Banksying this week, so I haven't had a lot of time to look into this. But yes, according to one of my contacts, a man called John Bays, I asked our friend of the show, Councillor Ashley Pearce, whose area it is, if he knew anything about it, and he put some feelers out. And I've had some information back from a man called John Bays,
yeah,
who says Devonshire Park was built 30 to 35 years ago.
Wow.
And the land used to be owned by Leighton Park School.
Okay.
They used to take their son, who's now 29, around Devonshire Park to get him to go to sleep when he was a baby. Not now, not now, age 29.
Which, funnily enough, is what I was doing last week when I went there.
Yeah. Apparently, a lot of people who worked there worked for Hewlett Packard, Compaq and Hewlett Packard. I don't know if there's any kind of deal, but they it's nearby, isn't it? So
yeah,
that's what they say. And Ashley also says that he taught cycling proficiency at White Knights Primary School with a local postman who went on Devonshire Park, and one day, many years ago, I think this was, he couldn't deliver any post there because they found a cannabis factory in one of the houses down there, and the road had been cordoned off by the police. So I don't know what you should make of that, but that's the information I've been I've been sent on this. I think we did find a story. I found a story actually about the cannabis factory found there, but it's quite a for Reading. It's quite posh looking,
yeah,
road. The house is quite big and,
yeah,
expensive looking. Somebody, I've yet to check this out, but it's very close to the border with Wokingham, and I found planning applications for the actual houses, so for work to be done on the houses on the Reading Borough website, but couldn't find any information about when it was built. And somebody suggested to me that part of it might be in Wokingham, and that might be where the entrance is, and that's why we couldn't find any information in on the Reading side of it. I've yet to look at this to see if there are anything, but it also could be the case it was built 35 years ago that the applications are too old to be online.
Yeah.
So So yes, in South Reading, near Reading Bedding, and yeah, the houses, you know, there aren't too many
houses
at that price in Reading. If you go, there's there, and the Warren is the other place, and it seems to be a sort of deliberately quite built, quite exclusive area around there. Someone else did also voice that some of the houses are derelict there as well.
Okay. No,
so I don't know how true that is, but
it's just really odd and all, and it feels almost completely like you'd walk in and go, where am I? It's just
I just assumed, looking at the frontage of it on the script that you sent out, I assume you're going to put a picture link with the podcast,
but oh yes,
you'd sort of assume it would be quite choose my words, flamboyant inside,
which I think it is.
Well I'm just looking again on Rightmove, because I am a Rightmove addict even though I have no money with which to buy a house. I still look at it quite regularly. But it's immaculate inside.
Yeah.
It's got some quite jazzy curtains, I'll give it that. But it's immaculate. It's really nice inside, if that's your kind of thing.
Am I right in thinking there was a lot of marble?
No.
Okay.
No, not even in the kitchen.
Oh, well, fair enough.
There's only three properties in Reading for that value at the moment, 1.25 million. One is the one that we've talked about before up in Tilehurst, old Water Tower?
Yes.
And the other one is at the bottom of Castle Hill.
On the right hand side.
It's lush inside.
That's for about $2 million, is it?
No, it's the 1.25.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's from what I remember. I think we've done stuff on that before. It's one of Reading's oldest houses, that one, I think. If it's one I'm thinking of, it's been on the market for ages. It's grade two listed, I believe.
I'm not sure. Anyway, I'm going to put my phone down now because I just get sucked into Rightmove. You know, when you start looking at houses and you think, okay, well, realistically, we could afford this much money because it's basically what our house is worth if we were to move.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you think, oh, I'll just add 50 grand to that and see what. And I might as well just add another 50. And suddenly I'm looking at like £600,000 houses going, yeah, maybe. That would be quite suitable for us, actually.
I just go highest first Berkshire and then see what you can get for your money in Cookham D. Or Ascot, £10 million.
Oh, my gosh.
The most expensive I ever saw on Rightmove was Uri Geller's old house, which I think was on the market for £15 million in Sonic. Mm. I don't know what it sold for.
Was what modelled on the White House, wasn't it? From what I remember.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. Giant energy crystals and stuff like that.
Here's Jeremy with how you can get in touch with us.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @realreadingpod, and join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
Thanks, Jeremy. We will move straight into the headlines. It is, of course, headline number one is Banksy. Hugh, how many stories have you written about Banksy this week?
At least 10.
Oh, is that not too many? Is that too many?
No.
Are you finding new things to say?
I'd written four by about 10 o'clock on Monday. I'd had people who'd seen a strange man lurking nearby who they thought were Banksy. I'd had there's a potential Banksy in Reading. I'd had somebody who was a collector of Banksys call up to say, this is definitely a Banksy. I'd had another artist say, I studied Banksy's work and it has all the hallmarks of an original. Then I went to look at it myself, did a lovely Facebook Live, the highlight of which was my phone deciding to turn it off towards the end of my turn itself off towards the end of my report. and then all the issues that caused. And then we yes, we followed it and did a few more things on it. And I think the count is 10. I'm sure there's another story being prepared today saying that he still hasn't confirmed it was him or not, which he does normally, but I don't know if lockdown is a factor. Strangely, Banksy has not released any statements or anything like that, being the reclusive artist that he is. But it's great bit of work. Have you gone and had a look?
Not yet.
Yes, I have.
I mean, don't park in the retail park.
No.
£100 fines. Park somewhere else, King's Road or somewhere like that, where there's parking. Do not risk it, because
they are hot on that at the best of times.
They are hot on that, yeah. That's my advice to all our listeners. Top tip, don't park illegally.
Hugh, just for our listeners, I obviously know why there are 10 stories on Banksy. Can you just explain to any listeners who might be wondering why there are 10 stories on Banksy?
Because the situation was developing as the day progressed. So one story was there's a potential Banksy. Two stories are I saw someone I thought was Banksy. Three stories are I'm a collector who's an expert in Banksys. It's a Banksy. Four stories are I'm an artist who has studied Banksy. It's a Banksy.
But why is it such a big deal that it could be a Banksy?
Yeah.
Because he's a world famous artist. He doesn't choose places at random. He's very thoughtful, and he's very well known for using his painting to make political statements. And it's also, to give it an excellent local angle, it has been suggested that this is Banksy pledging his support to the campaign to turn Reading Prison into an art centre. So
do you think it has implications now then for having that on the wall? Are there now certain restrictions of what could and couldn't be done with said wall? With, you know, if when people, somebody does develop it, regardless of what it becomes.
No, you'd imagine that anyone at the Ministry of Justice who suggested, and we better clean this off, this is illegal graffiti, and we're the Ministry of Justice. There might be some tricky conversations going on there about how the Ministry of Justice should behave with regards to what is essentially illegal graffiti. In terms of it's grade two listed, the prison. So in terms of redevelopment, there are going to be many, many rules on what can and can't be done with the building itself. Anyway,
that wall around the outside isn't listed.
No, but if it's an original Banksy, and even if it's not, it's something very close to an original Banksy. Someone very talented has done the work, and the MP, the council's welcomed it. The MP has welcomed it. The police said this amazing artwork has appeared on the prison walls. So for them to someone to say say a private company bought the prison and said, right, we're getting rid of the Banksy mural, there'd be a lot of controversy and outcry, wouldn't there?
I'm
not sure of the legalities whether, you know, potentially if you forked out for a house somewhere which had a Banksy on it and you didn't like it, then you could A, sell the Banksy as it's your property, or B, clean it off as is your right, I would assume.
It certainly won't be the first time, but just very, very recently, that quite literally happened in Nottinghamshire.
Yes, I spoke to the man
on a wall, and they just cut it out of the wall.
Yeah, that's the guy I spoke to. He rung up and he said two things. I'm a collector for collector of Banksy's, and I know my stuff, and I'm sure it is. And also, I don't want to buy it. I think it's a bit.
And nobody asked me
the length of it. And where it is probably a bit much to be cut out and removed. That wall might fall down if it.
Just one last bit on Banksy. I've found this comment that I was looking for, and it's one of those that I sincerely, sincerely hope it is in jest. I'm not going to reveal the chap's name, but he wrote on Facebook under one of the Banksy articles, "I cannot believe that you can just turn up and put scaffolding up against a prison, capital letters, wall. And no one bats an eyelid. Where were the prison guards? There would have been outrage if a prisoner escaped down it." And most of the responses are, "Prison has been closed for years. Prison's shut. yeah, the prison's closed, mate. And then he replies, I know, I agree with everyone. The prison should be closed ASAP if this sort of thing can happen. Shocking.
Oh, was he not having bants then?
Well, I think so. I think so.
I assumed he was trying to be funny.
I'm absolutely sure that...
this is tongue-in-cheek, is it? Because I did make a point of pointing out in every single one of my 10 stories that the prison has been closed for a number of years. And everyone in Reading knows it's closed as well.
Yes. Yes.
Well, this always goes back to our point, Hugh. Did they read the story?
No, but I would say...
The comment.
I would stake my reputation on it that... The fact that Reading Prison is empty and has been closed since for a number of years is common knowledge in Reading.
What is a bit weird though is that you described him as reclusive, renowned artist or whatever. Reclusive is the word that I'm picking up on. But to then go and put up some scaffolding in broad daylight at 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon isn't very secretive, is it? It's a bit odd.
The bloke who said he saw a bloke he thought was Banksy said that he was wearing a mask and he had his hood up.
Aren't we all at the moment?
Indeed, yeah. Wow. The mask, I don't know, is to cover his face or to abide by COVID rules.
And also to not inhale spray paint, I'd imagine.
Yeah, this is true. But the work, I think the actual painting was done overnight and the scaffolding went up on Sunday afternoon. I think they did it by cover of darkness.
So more than likely, someone at Reading Borough Council knows that this is either a Banksy or not a Banksy. Because he couldn't just put that up there.
Well, it's private land. It's owned by the Ministry of Justice.
Okay.
And it's not a functioning prison. So no. They have security guards and stuff like that there. But the Ministry of Justice has probably got its hands full with other prisons. So for Banksy just to rock up and do a painting overnight on an empty prison, would Banksy phone up the MOJ and just ask them whether it was all right or not? Would they just do it and on the grounds that he's Banksy and he just turns up and does things on?
I don't know. I don't know. But...
I really hope it strengthens the case for some sort of arts centre, venue, Abbey Quarter expansion.
What is interesting is I got a press release from Zoopla, the canny PR folk at Zoopla, leapt into action with some details about how much property prices rise if you've got a Banksy near you. And I can't remember the exact figures, but the answer is massively.
How close is close?
I don't know. They're building some new flats over the road.
They said it's a postcode area, but they compared the street where it was compared to the other streets in the same postcode area. And the one in Nottingham, it was something like 1400% increase. The houses started selling for millions.
Oh, for goodness sake.
So Barclay Homes, which is building 700 odd houses across the road from there, must have had a
they're rubbing their hands together
a virtual champagne popping ceremony. If you live in the Verto building as well, 100 yards away, which is already very expensive, you must be fairly happy with that too.
Can I just in the interests of getting every angle on this, I need to just highlight the campaign by friend of the pod, Stir, their campaign to turn the Reading Jail into a Mega Spoons. I believe that campaign started at the weekend. So
I guess if it all kicks off in the Spoons because people have had too much cheap booze and then just throw them in one of the cells, job done.
I think the bloke who looks like the elderly Thundercat who owns Spoons, mate, could well have an eye on the prison.
What an old lion-o.
Yeah, old lion-o, yeah.
Brilliant.
Oh dear. Right, let's move on very quickly because we're going to use up all of our time and Rachel's got things to do. The brakes have been put on Reading Festival 2021. As Reading Borough Council says, nothing has been agreed. I should just say, just in that previous Banksy story, when I said someone in Reading Borough Council must know, they may or may not. I have no idea. Just in the interest of, I don't want anybody going to the council and just, you know. But yes, so Reading Festival, we thought it was definitely happening. There's been a lot of response to say this shouldn't be happening. And now the council says, actually, we haven't decided. Rach, you're a big Reading Fest fan. Thoughts?
Hey.
Yeah. Aren't you? You've been.
I've only been once.
Used to live near it at the very
least. I did used to live near it. Yeah, it's a bit of a peculiar story, this one, isn't it? Because I read that they, when the tickets went on sale, they sold out within the day. So people, there's demand for it. But to sort of sell out your tickets before it's officially been agreed, it can even go ahead, and before you've got insurance in place, which is what the article also said, seems a bit premature and suggests that perhaps they need some...
I don't know. It doesn't seem like a great idea, but I'm no epidemiologist.
I mean, it's in August, which is, and it's 6 weeks after the final date the government has set for, and that final date being everything returns to normal, July the 12th, I think it is. So 6 or possibly 7 weeks after that, it would be the Reading Festival. So I can understand why the council is not yet saying, yeah, go ahead, you know, because it's based on entirely hypothetical situations. It depends on, you know, all the stories I've written about any event. I've been putting these lines in saying the government has stressed, you know, the restrictions will only be lifted in the event of a number of factors, the infection rate, number of people who've been vaccinated, the current level of deaths at the time. And so I can understand why the festival organisers were keen to push ahead, because in their eyes, our event is after the last date. But then I can understand why the council is cautious, because it's based, you know, if they were to say, yep, you can have your license, you can have your insurance and whatever and ever, go ahead. And then that situation to be not where it needs to be ahead of the festival, it's an enormous amount of, you know, assumption on behalf of the council. And I know Melvin Benn, who runs Festival Republic, has come out and said, you know, we are going to do everything we can to get it on. But the council needs to be much more cautious in that, and to say, yes, we're going to welcome 100,000 people over a 3-day weekend from all over the country into Reading for this event 6 weeks after the final deadline for lifting restrictions. At this stage in March, what are we, 5 months away, 6 months away, pretty much, is would be a bit irresponsible in my view. And you know, they'll be working on it and they're keeping an eye on the situation, and the numbers are continuing to drop. The rates are very, very low compared to what they were in Reading, and
but it's
they're
not
still
just
quite
about
high
Reading,
in other places, you know. I did have them on my screen and now I don't, but you know, the rate where I live is 47, but the rate in Slough is still something like 140. So you know, there's a much higher risk of infection from someone coming from another place in Berkshire. So for the council to say, yep, no problem, definitely going ahead at this stage, would be quite not very bright, not very clever move on their part, in my view. Whereas the organisers will be working your way behind the scenes to try and make sure it's safe and make sure everything's all right. But, you know, you can't say at this stage, definitely, yes, Reading Festival will go ahead. You just can't say that. And they can plan it and they can sell the tickets and, you know, hopefully it will go ahead and give the town the boost it needs and everyone will be vaccinated But the other, I guess the other factor with Reading Festival is the age of the people who go there. There will be, for, what are the people you see, the large groups of people you see in Reading when the festival is on, they're not people of our age even, are ancient age. they're people sort of 20 years younger than us. So they're the very bottom bracket for the vaccine. So the vaccine has to go incredibly smoothly, which it is doing. It's been an enormous success, and there's been huge amounts of people given it already, but that has to continue. And those people are the very bottom of the list to get it. And so, like I say again, if you if the council is to say, yes, it's definitely going to go ahead now at this point, and then it doesn't, then that's just egg on everyone's faces. So I think they're right in this case to be cautious about it. And we'll have to watch how the situation unfolds.
I was wondering, what, I had a couple of questions about it. I don't know whether you can answer, Hugh, but from obviously last year's festival was cancelled. And do we know what happened to people who had tickets for last year's event? Yeah, was it carried over to this year?
Yeah, a lot of them were carried over, and I think that might have been a factor as to why it was sold out so quickly, because people already had tickets.
Okay.
And, you know, it was always going to sell out quickly, and I'm sure there would be processes in place for if it doesn't go ahead, and for everyone to, you know, either carry their tickets over again or get their money back. So
my other question was, so have they sold tickets based on like a full capacity of what they'd normally have? What was it, 100,000 people? And what do we think restrictions, if any, would be in place? Can you imagine that many people moshing with masks on? And it's just not going to happen, is it? I think you've either got to do it and just have no rules, or don't do it.
Well, the wording of the final July the 12th lifting of restrictions is something like, I can't remember what exactly it is.
Majority of restrictions removed or something, isn't it?
No, it's all remaining open air events will be allowed to take place as normal or something like that. So
right.
They're basically saying this is it, you know, this is the end of it. Again, with the caveat that with dependent on what the situation is.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see. I think just I end everything by saying we have to wait and see.
Yeah. Look, it's just the nature of what we do. Just wanted to just highlight a couple of other things. A couple of local festivals. Are You Listening Festival? The excellent Arsening Festival, which runs at several venues across town, looks like it's finally going to go ahead in October. Details on that website. And also, I believe there are moves to have a full Ready Pop Festival as well this year, although there doesn't seem to have been an announcement, so I might be getting ahead of myself there. But fingers crossed, things will be, we'll have some festivals and some stuff to enjoy. Just a final story, we'll be very brief on this one because I know we've got to get a move on. There is another hotel, in theory, coming to Reading Town Centre to replace the derelict. Is this another plan, a different plan, or the same plan?
It's different. For the Bristol West Arcade, yes. It's a chain. No, it's been submitted in the last few days.
Right.
The plan they had put in before for it, which, forgive me, I can't remember, but was then some, which I think had planning permission, but has now been deemed unsuitable, okay, given the current market. I think they want this hotel. I can't remember the details of it, but yeah, there's, off the top of my head, there's going to be a premiere in where Evers is in Hosier Street. There's planning permission for a hotel in Station Road, where that big derelict building opposite Revolution is. The second part of Station Hill, the bit that isn't getting built now, the second stage, so we're way down the line, there's a hotel proposed for there too. Think so. That's four essentially, plus a Novotel that's already there.
So, my questions are around how many hotels does a town centre need, And B, does this mean that if we get if the UK and the Republic of Ireland get the 2030 World Cup, can we assume that the Medeski will be one of the grounds with all of these hotels?
Well, that would be very long-term thinking, wouldn't it? I don't know whether they need any hotels.
You have to have a certain amount of hotel rooms in your town or city to host a venue, to be a host venue for the World Cup.
Medeski is too small, isn't it?
You could stick some. You could go full Brighton and Hove Albion and stick some.
They could finally put the extra tiers on it that they talked about all those years ago. I don't know whether there's too many hotels. Certainly, there'd be a lot of criticism if four new hotels got built and then they all had to close because no one used them. Replacing a derelict nightclub with an empty hotel would not be a shrewd move. I don't know. I guess there's some sort of evidence to suggest that there is a demand. Maybe Reading doesn't have enough hotels. There's the Novotel in the town centre and a few others sort of scattered around in Oxford Road and out of town. Yeah, people wouldn't want to build hotels if they didn't think there was a desire for them. So maybe Reading's going to become a tourist destination. I think a lot of people who... I wonder if part of the thinking is that if people come on holiday to visit London but don't want to stay in hotels in London because they're about £600 a night or whatever, they could come to Reading and stay in a hotel and then get the train into London.
And then pay the rest of that fee on the train.
But I don't know. But if we turn out in 10 years' time to be on the Reading podcast, Real Reading podcast, episode 1957, and we've got four empty hotels in the town centre, and I'll be nearly 50, that'll be another thing to talk about. But
fantastic.
We have to hope that the powers of be know what they're doing.
I'll
be nearly 50.
Which means Rachel will be over 50. Rach, I presume that was a whisper in your ear to say, hurry up.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, a little one.
Fine. Let's just wrap
things
up.
We've got to play juggling work and juggling the babies. We've got to play tag team on the small person. That's all.
Let's just wrap things up then. That was the end of our part one. We'll go straight to part two with the random question. Here we go.
The random question.
Random question time. Hey guys. Random question. I don't know if you've seen this one because I added it a bit late, and this is going to be a rich vein for Hugh to pluck. I don't know if you can pluck a vein. I'm not sure. I doubt it. But what was your fondest memory of school?
You going first, Hugh?
Playing football in the school tennis courts every lunchtime. It was a kind of a ritual. There were two teams which were always the same, slightly different friendship groups, and it was fiercely competitive. Everyone got really smelly, which meant we stunk for the rest of the day. It's a very fond memory I have, and when we eventually finished school in year 11, the last game was extremely emotional. I scored. I scored in the last game, which I was very, very pleased with. And we all got told off because it was next goal wins. The school bell went. And the next goal took about probably at least 15 minutes after the bell. And it became more and more frantic. And we were all there. And then I can't remember if one of the teachers came out and saw us and made us go back inside on our last ever day at school. Or whether we just carried on. I can't remember who scored the winning goal. Or which team won, but I scored, so I had my moment, and it's very, very fond memories of, well, I was always rubbish at football, but you know, scored a goal, so that was all right.
And there's me assuming he would have just gone Ricky Whittle.
Yeah, I just assumed he'd go straight down the Whittle Street.
He was really, really good at football. I think he plays it. He's one of these celebs who plays in these charity games all the time, because he's really good. But you know, he's old now. He must be
same age as you.
He's 3 years older than me, but that's not what his Wikipedia page said the last time I looked at it.
Controversial.
Unless he was so clever, he got put up 3 years at school. Yeah, get your lawyers on that.
Right.
I'm going to throw like school trips in there. So probably the two main ones that I did at secondary school was Kilvrew. Did either of you go to Kilvrew in South Wales? It's sort of one of those outdoor pursuit type trips that they did. So we did all caving and abseiling and, you know, night orienteering and stuff like that. And it was, I nearly did a swear then. It was blooming brilliant. And we had an excellent time. Probably the first and only time I've done many of those things. Like abseiling, but there you go. And wear a wetsuit, in fact. I haven't attempted that again. It wouldn't be pretty. And then the other one was the French exchange. That was pretty good as well. And then, I mean, it's a bit cheesy, but just the friends that I made at school who are still some of my best friends to this day. So...
Yeah.
Your schoolmates are your best mates. That's one of the life learnings I have.
Yep. And they used to come every morning because my house was like the last one on the sort of round trip of everybody walking up to school. Ours was the last one. So everyone used to come and congregate at my house in the morning. I was always the last one. I was always late, even though I lived about 100 metres from the school.
That is a rule. People who live closer to the school were always late.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, it was literally 200 metres from my front door and I was never ready when they arrived for me in the mornings. It's because the afro takes so much maintenance. Yeah. I was still attempting to brush it while they're arriving. But yeah, I have good memories of secondary school. I know a lot of people don't, but
I loved secondary school. It was great. I had a great time. It was just, you know, it's growing up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was good. Shall we, let's call it. That's it. That's it for today.
That's it.
Absolutely done.
Always a pleasure, fellas.
Indeed. And to you. If anybody would like to get in touch with us, here's Jeremy with How You Can.
Get in touch with the team. Email hello@realreadingpodcast.co.uk. Find us on Twitter and Instagram @RealReadingPod, and join our Facebook group by searching Real Reading Podcast.
Thanks, Jeremy. Do feel free to join us on Facebook or Twitter. Just search for Real Reading Pod. If you have a moment, please give us a rating and a review on your podcast app. We'll be back next week for more Reading-y podcast goodness. Bye!
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 You're listening to the Real Reading Podcast.